Good evening and welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands. The piano stylings of the brilliant Teddy Wilson presented tonight on a one-night stand with the big bands on WTIC Radio. This is Arnold Dinn, and it's a pleasure to be with you for this October edition of our program. And a one-night stand is brought to you in part by Russo Chevrolet across from the Bradley Air Museum in Windsor Locks, where both sales and service are outstanding. And as we said a month ago when we had part one of this program, what better way to begin a tribute to Teddy Wilson than by listening to the master at the piano? This is King Porter Stomp. Teddy Wilson Trio with Teddy at the piano, Major Holly on bass, and Bert Dahlander on drums. The King Porter Stomp, and that certainly was indeed the basis for some marvelous arrangements by many of the big bands, notably, I think, by Benny Goodman, an orchestra with which Teddy Wilson appeared so often and so brilliantly. Matter of fact, before we hear any more music, let's meet our special guest. And Teddy, we talked the entire program last month without entering into one particular phase of the discussion. Was Benny Goodman aware that you and he were breaking a color barrier?
Of course. Yeah. Oh, yes. Sure.
What was the reaction? Was it, did Benny make a big deal of it, or anyone else? Did the audience
react? No, I think the thing was so successful that a lot of the early people who tried to persuade Goodman not to get into it, I heard a rumor that some businessmen were telling him he was ruining his career and the public would not accept it, but it became a tremendous success.
Benny, in a conversation that I had with him, said I was simply trying to hire the best musicians I could for every job, and
that's
the
right.
color didn't make any difference.
That's right. He wasn't color conscious, because the Goodman Band, the composition of the band, was the whole, practically the whole earth. They were Irish, fellows with Irish background, Jewish, everything you can think of in the Goodman Band.
It had to be one of the great thrills of your career when you appeared on that day in 1938 on the stage of Carnegie Hall, January 16th, 1938, for the first exclusive jazz concert by any great jazz band on that hallowed stage.
Mm-hmm. That's my impression of it, that we were the first all-jazz concert. Prior to that, there had been a Spirituals to Swing concert, in which the Count Basie Band was featured, and
that's right,
the Golden Gate Quartet.
But
I think that was the first all-jazz band concert.
Were you all pretty nervous about it that night?
No, it was just exciting that it was such a special occasion. But the Goodman Band played like that every night.
Mm-hmm.
Then the recording of that thing captured the feeling of, well, the, much better than the studio recording. But that band played like that every night, and whether it's in Oklahoma or California or Carnegie Hall. A great jazz band.
Benny, of course, was apprehensive. He wanted to put a couple of comedy things on the bill and so on, just in case the music didn't go over. He wanted something else there just to fall back on. But I guess it turned out to be unnecessary.
I didn't know that. But what he did have extra was an excellent group of musicians from Ellington and
Basie
for the jam session.
That's right.
Honeysuckle Rose. That was. But there was no comedians or anything like that.
No,
it was just the Goodman outfit and the... these guests from Basie and Ellington for the big jam session.
It was just a great night for music.
Mm-hmm, it really was.
Great 1938 jazz concert at Carnegie Hall. Benny Goodman playing two different selections featuring Teddy Wilson, of course.
America, what do you love best?
Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet.
I love them.
And your all-American Chevrolet dealer, Russo Chevrolet, has just started its annual demonstrator clearance sale. That's right, there are 10 to choose from in various models from the Monte Carlo to the Vegas. This sale also includes Mr. Russo's personal demonstrator, a 1974 Caprice. It's a beautiful burgundy with black vinyl top that's equipped with automatic air conditioning, Posit Traction Cruise Master, complete stereo system that includes AM and FM radio, plus a tape console, steel radials, tilt wheel, and power seat and power windows. Somebody will save $1,388 on this beautiful car, and it could be you. Stop in tomorrow at Russo Chevrolet and ask to test drive this car or any one of the other 1974 demonstrators. You'll also save up to $450 on Russo's remaining 1974 Vegas that are equipped with automatic transmission, air conditioning, radio, and white walls. Go where the savings are. Russo Chevrolet. Turnpike Road across from the Bradley Air Museum in Windsor Locks. Take the Bradley Field exit off I-91 and then your first right to Russo Chevrolet. Now let's pick a few favorites on which the piano stylings of Teddy Wilson were featured, if I may, Teddy. For example, one called Slip Disc, which came at a time, as I understand it, when Benny Goodman was having some back problems.
Benny had just come from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, for an operation on cured his slip disc. And so we call that tune Slip Disc. And it's really, underneath Slip Disc, you'll find Jeepers Creepers and the King Porter Stomp structure mixed up together in little segments.
Thank you. would record something like this, or even before you'd play it on a live date, let's say it's a radio broadcast from one of your concerts. It might have been at one of your locations here. It might have been on the stage of the State Theater here in Hartford. What would you do, especially in your small group recordings? Would you go through a framework, or was everything that you did completely ad-libbed?
No, these things, we spent hours and hours of rehearsal on these little things till we'd put these arrangements together without music. And slip discs, for instance, Red Norvo contributed ideas, I contributed ideas, Goodman contributed ideas, and but Goodman will have the final say on putting the thing together. Mm-hmm. So like we need an interlude, or we need an introduction, we need an ending, and everybody would come up with ideas, and Goodman would select what he thought was the most appropriate in putting the little arrangements together. But we spent hours, many hours, rehearsing these things.
Isn't that
till we memorized our parts, because there's quite a bit of a three-way ensemble in there between the vibraphone, clarinet, and piano, mm-hmm. in which we had to work it out, the melodic part, and then the harmonic parts had to be worked out, and everyone memorized his part. This took many hours of work.
That's very true. I'm thinking of things like Rachel's Dream.
Yes.
I think that it was clarinet, vibes, and piano. Mm-hmm. Down the line. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm sure,
that's
had
the same,
to be rehearsed.
Same group that made their
slip disc.
Yeah. Yes. Red Novel was in there, Rachel's Dream. And then some of the earlier things with Lionel Hampton, too. We rehearsed like Dizzy Spells and Handful of Keys. A lot of those arrangements were rehearsed many hours to get the final product.
Of course, you were chosen to appear with a great many all-star groups over the years, and this is something that used to be a tremendous honor. But I'm thinking back particularly to the year 1946. It's one of my favorite all-star groups. All-star groups always struck me, Teddy, that too often a bunch of gifted musicians would get together, and without really having too much rehearsal time, it almost sounded like every man for himself. And I didn't get that impression with this group of 1946 award winners, of which you were very definitely a part. Let's see, the whole lineup had Charlie Shavers and Buck Clayton on trumpets, J.J. Johnson trombone, Coleman Hawkins on tenor sax, and we could write a book about Coleman Hawkins, too, couldn't we?
Let's see, would that be J.C. Higginbottom on trombone?
No.
Would that be an Esquire?
This is Esquire's All-America, uh-huh. Yeah.
They have J.J. Johnson.
They have J.J. Johnson, and it should be J.C. Higginbotham.
Let me see.
How about that?
Look, they have Shadow Wilson on drums. Uh-huh. But maybe I'm thinking about it. Maybe that's correct. Maybe I'm thinking about a different year.
Mm-hmm.
All-star thing.
John Collins on guitar, and Chubby Jackson on bass, Harry Carney on baritone saxophone.
Uh-huh.
It's a marvelous group.
They're probably right. I'm probably wrong then. No, this is not a big jam session. No, this is
more worked out. It's a number called Blow Me Down. much bop flavored. That's called Blow Me Down. Did Teddy Wilson play much or even like bop?
No, I never got into the bop movement. I thought it was would not be wise for me to get into that.
Yeah.
Because it would wind up, I'd already established my own style, and it was known from recordings, and for me to change would indicate I would be trailing after what, see, the whole bop movement is Charlie Parker, meaning becoming a copy of Charlie Parker. So I thought that would not be wise.
Yeah.
I better stay with what I was doing and just refine it and keep it up to a certain standard.
How did it feel to work with a great professional like Ella Fitzgerald? What a great vocalist.
You know, she's a tremendous talent. Only in those days, Ella was not famous. That was the beginning of her career when she sang on that record date.
This is just about the time she was recording with Chick Webb at Tisket.
She was with Chick. She was with Chick Webb. Uh-huh. Then, this would probably be before Tisket or Tasket.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
because that was
a
very big record for her, and Stairway to the Stars. I think this, The Melancholy Baby, and All My Life she did.
Right. March
17th. It's All My Life they have here. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And My Melancholy Baby also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a couple of great numbers from a very, very young Ella Fitzgerald. Yeah. When you got around to forming your own orchestra, how did you go about picking musicians? You'd work with all the great ones, so you knew
who
you wanted.
Well, in touring with Goodman, I had come in contact on the road with a lot of players that I liked very much. I got three or four men from Detroit for my own big band in 1939 after I left the Goodman Band. And I got my main arranger, Buster Harding, was from Buffalo. I got... Carl Baker for come in from St. Louis and to play for Don Redman's band. And that band, I think, sort of broke up, and he was all set to go back to St. Louis, and I got him for my big band. And so, like that, and various players who were available around New York that I thought would fit in with what I was trying to do.
What years did you have your band together, Ted?
That big band lasted about a year and a half, I guess. I think we made about 20 sides for Columbia. And then I cut down to, I got offered this year-round engagement at the Cafe Society with a small group. And I had to, I let the big band go because it was losing money for me. And then I began losing my men. Ben Webster, my feature saxophone player, went with Duke Ellington. And that was quite a loss out of my reed section. And we weren't doing very much with money jobs anyway. The booking office, Music Corporation, was using it sort of like a football, letting promoters make money back on us that they had lost on other MCA attractions. So so I took the job, the steady thing at the Cafe Societies with the small group, which lasted all during the Second World War.
I looked back at my copy of the Big Bands with George T. Simon, and he says some marvelous things about your band. He says it featured some of the top musicians of the time. Its style was very polite, like Teddy himself, but polite black bands were difficult to sell in those days. And he feels that that perhaps is the reason that the band didn't come on and capture quite the attention that he felt it deserved.
Yeah, we didn't last long enough to get some really good, exciting jazz, enough good, exciting jazz arrangements going, which in those days, the best ones just take time, like the Goodman version of Sing, Sing, Sing took months and months before that final version was formed, playing it every night. The majority of it wasn't written. Only a little bit of that thing was written. But the musicians playing a song night after night develop ideas on the order of the Goodman Quartet and the small groups.
I didn't realize
so
that.
So my big band didn't stay together long enough. We were rather weak on the fiery type of arrangements, which you put together what we call a head arrangement, not written.
America, what do you love best?
Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet.
I love them.
And your all-American Chevrolet dealer, Russo Chevrolet, has just started its annual demonstrator clearance sale. That's right. There are 10 to choose from in various models from the Monte Carlo to the Vegas. This sale also includes Mr. Russo's personal demonstrator, a 1974 Caprice. It's a beautiful burgundy with black vinyl top that's equipped with automatic air conditioning, Posit Traction Cruise Master, complete stereo system that includes AM and FM radio, plus a tape console, steel radials, tilt wheel, and power seat and power windows. Somebody is going to save $1,388 on this beautiful car, and it could be you. Stop in tomorrow at Russo Chevrolet and ask to test drive this car or any one of the other 1974 demonstrators. You'll also save up to $450 on Russo's remaining 1974 Vegas that are equipped with automatic transmission, air conditioning, radio, and white walls. Go where the savings are. Russo Chevrolet, Turnpike Road across from the Bradley Air Museum in Windsor Locks. Take the Bradley Field exit off I-91 and then your first right to Russo Chevrolet. Now we're going to listen to another of the recordings featuring our special guest on the program tonight, Teddy Wilson. And for this one, we're going to another one of those marvelous all-star lineups too, Teddy. Matter of fact, let me read off just some of the names of people who were featured in this. Benny Goodman sat in for a few sessions, it says, with the wonderful Teddy Wilson pickup groups of the middle and late 30s. Here he joins with Teddy Wilson, Harry James on trumpet, Vito Musso tenor, Alan Roos guitar, Brother Harry on bass, and Gene Krupa on drums. And the singer, I have to see if you remember the singer's name. Now, we're going to play a number called The Hour of Parting. Do you remember who the vocalist was?
Boots Castle, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Was Boots a pretty good vocalist?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I never heard of her after that, though. I believe that was recorded in California, I think.
song we heard when I met you. Love, it was a night of romance that all began with a dance. I never will forget. But now we're saying goodbye. The parting hour is
here's another one called You Came to My Rescue, an excellent tune from Big Broadcast of 1937, which bears reviving, it says. Same personnel as in The Hour of Parting, except that Goodman trumpeter Chris Griffin replaces Harry James and Lionel Hampton is added on vibes, and one of Helen Ward's best vocals, though the original issue playing the pseudonym game again listed her as Vera Lane. It actually was Helen Ward. Do you remember this?
Yes. That would be, I believe, New York, that recording. I'm not sure. Thank you.
recorded probably with every great vocalist of the past two or three generations.
Mm, quite a few.
Have you ever planned on writing a book, Teddy?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to work on one?
Yes. I already have about 6 hours of interview, like what we're doing, done by the Danish radio, which I'm having taken off the tape and put down on paper. So we'll have something to start with there and add pertinent facts that are not included on these tapes.
To make
a book.
Such an integral part of all this, I would hate to think of you staying so busy playing the piano you didn't get around to putting it all on paper. We'd love to read about it. We have another one here called Warming Up. This is one that you composed as well. Your band recorded it May 14th of 1936. Again, it's another of those groups that where you picked up such super musicians. Roy Eldridge on trumpet, Buster Bailey clarinet, Teddy Wilson piano, Bob Lessie guitar, Israel Crosby bass, Sid Catlett on drums, and another reed man that I admired so very much, and another one who was cut down early in his life, Chu Berry on tenor.
Yes.
You
played that was a good session, and of course that warming up is just an improvisation based on some standard tune of the day, maybe something like I Found a New Baby. Mm-hmm. Without using the Found a New Baby melody, mm-hmm. Every man makes his own melody. But the foundation of it would have been some standard song.
One of the great discussions in jazz during that time and for a while beyond that was the discussion of who was the greater of the tenor men, Chu Berry or Coleman Hawkins. I guess everybody agrees they were sort of 1-2, and I think the consensus would appear to be Coleman Hawkins as the greatest. But I, for one, preferred Chu Berry. Uh-huh. How did you feel about them?
I think I liked Hawkins a shade better, but Chu was a very fine player. I think Coleman Hawkins and the most important historically. I think he was more imitated around the world, you know, like Louis Armstrong and Ellington with written music. Ellington with the written music, Louis Armstrong with the trumpet, Coleman Hawkins with the tenor sax, and later Lester Young with the tenor sax, right. And then Charlie Parker with the alto sax.
The bird.
Mm-hmm. I think Coleman would have been much stronger influence than Chu.
Much more influential, yeah.
But Chu was a very fine player, tremendous tenor player.
And of course he was cut down a lot sooner and didn't have quite the time to make the contribution that Coleman
right,
did.
Right, there's no telling where he would wound up. He killed an automobile accident and he's still in his 20s.
Yes, but he left a great legacy of records again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
America, what do you love best?
Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet.
I love them.
And your All-America's Chevrolet dealer, Russo Chevrolet, has just started its annual demonstrator clearance sale. That's right. There are 10 to choose from in various models, from the Monte Carlo to the Vegas. This sale also includes Mr. Russo's personal demonstrator, a 1974 Caprice. It's a beautiful burgundy with black vinyl top that's equipped with automatic air conditioning, Posit Traction Cruise Master, complete stereo system that includes AM and FM radio, plus a tape console, steel radials, tilt wheel, and power seat and power windows. Somebody will save $1,388 on this beautiful car, and it could be you. Stop in tomorrow at Russo Chevrolet and ask to test drive this car or any one of the other 1974 demonstrators. You'll also save up to $450 on Russo's remaining 1974 Vegas that are equipped with automatic transmission, air conditioning, radio, and white walls. $450 saving. Go where the savings are. Russo Chevrolet, Turnpike Road across from the Bradley Air Museum in Windsor Locks. Take the Bradley Field exit off I-91, and then your first right to Russo Chevrolet. And now here's that great all-star group with Warming Up. Thank you. Have you ever regretted that you got into the music business, Teddy?
No, this is making money at a hobby.
Oh, I think that says it awfully well. You've worked with all of the greats ever since, well, about 45 years now. You've worked with every great name in jazz, instrumental and vocal. I imagine you have some marvelous memories of all this. Are there some special favorite stories that you have about any of the people you've worked with?
No, nothing too special. It's mostly all the time it's doing a job that we all enjoyed doing. It's a pleasure to go to work. It's not like having a job where you hate to go. It's fun to play this kind of music.
When you're making appearances like the one at the Tobacco Valley Inn, how much work do you do in arranging what you're going to play? Do you sit there with kind of a list of the things you're going to play?
No. Some nights, like the requests start coming in, someone will send up a note with a request, and then in a few minutes, there's many more that guide me, and I'll just play the request. But without the request, I generally tend to group my pieces. Sometimes I'll play a whole set of Ellington, whole set of Gershwin, a whole lot of Fats Waller, and then sometimes I play songs that I recorded with Billie Holiday. With different songwriters, and then sometimes I played some of the tunes we featured with the Benny Goodman Quartet and Trio in a group. And that's what sort of reminds me how to program the things, to put them together that way, those three different formats I use. And then sometimes I just play a medley of old tunes from the 1930s, or sometimes play a lot of Richard Rodgers songs in a row, or Cole Porter songs.
It's fantastic. You sit there and remember tunes by the hundred. How much longer is Teddy Wilson going to keep playing?
No, I can't retire. I can't afford it.
We can't afford to let you retire, Teddy. And therein lies this story. I hope you'll keep going for a long time and always enjoy it as much as you obviously enjoy it right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Give you an example. Say I played Body and Soul twice last night, and Body and Soul came out around 1929. I must have played it 100,000 times. And the question arises, how can you play the same piece 100,000 times? Because of this approach to music, the object is not to repeat yourself unless you have to. You're always trying to invent a little pattern that you haven't played in a certain little situation before. Or either put old patterns together in new, like putting a chain together, put the links in different places. So you never play it exactly the same way twice.
That's wonderful.
So that's what keeps you interested, and you can play the same pieces year in and year out, because the object is, as I said, not to repeat yourself. It's always a challenge.
You have the same enthusiasm, Teddy, as somebody 40 years your junior just entering the music business, and I think that says a lot. That's marvelous.
A lot of the new jazz nowadays is where the harmony is very simple, where a player tries to, with very, very simple harmony, maybe one or two chords, to play for 1/2 hour and keep it interesting, be inventing. That's one of this new trend in jazz nowadays. It's not easy, but it's quite a challenge. It's a lot of fun to try to do, but for the listener to sit through it, it's not easy a lot of times. But it is a lot of fun to try to play that way. We had a man come to New York from Chicago during the Second World War named Robert Crumb, and he went even farther. Every time he sat at the piano, he would create. He never played a song, but he tried to create a composition every time he sat down. And and he was amazingly successful at times. Not always, but sometimes some mighty good stuff did come out of the piano from him. He died a very young man, unfortunately, too.
This kind of brings us to the...
Trying not to repeat yourself is the secret of keeping you interested in jazz. Because I don't play original music. I don't amount to anything. I play other people's music, but I try to embroider around it differently every time, never the same twice.
Did you have a favorite composer?
No, these are all my favorites. I switched from Fats to Duke Ellington to Gershwin and Cole Porter, Richard Rodgers.
Teddy, if you don't mind, we have to conclude with one. By one of those gentlemen who you said inspired you back in your early portion of your career, Thomas Fats Waller. certainly one of the most prolific composers of all time. Matter of fact, I've heard a story about him. He and his friend Fletcher Henderson stopped in at one time and wanted to order some hamburgers. Fats was broke, he frequently was, and he said, I'll tell you what, I'll write you a song for every hamburger that you'll buy for me. Fletcher Henderson took him up on it. 9 hamburgers later, they left the diner. This is Honeysuckle Rose. By the Teddy Wilson Trio, Teddy at the piano, Major Holly bass, and Bert Dahlander on drums. Both last month and this, we've enjoyed so immensely this conversation with Teddy Wilson, and I must say, Teddy, that we have found you to be as warm a person as you are a brilliant musician. Thank you so much, and continued great success to you.
Thank you, Arnold. I sure have enjoyed talking to you.
This edition of A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands has been brought to you on WTIC Radio with engineering by Fred Pearson. And this is Arnold Dean. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you again next month on WTIC Radio on another One-Night Stand with the Big Bands. Tonight's program has been brought to you by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet across from the Bradley Air Museum in Windsor Locks, where both sales and service are outstanding.